Corpus Christi, which is Latin for the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Today, in the Western tradition of the Orthodox Church, we celebrate the Sunday within the octave of Corpus Christi, the actual feast having occurred on Thursday, the Thursday following Trinity Sunday, which was last week. And so today, we continue this celebration of a feast that is very important within the church. Now, while the Eastern Rite does not specifically have a Sunday or a celebration specifically of the body of Christ, in the fullness of the church, the expression of the church, we have adopted, co-opted a celebration, an important celebration in Holy Orthodoxy, the feast of Corpus Christi, the body of Christ. The body of Christ. And why is this such an important feast, an important celebration that we will set apart a day and then a Sunday within the octave in celebration of this? And the answer quite simply is that the body of Christ has such profound implications and meaning for us that it becomes central to who we are. And so I want us to consider just briefly this morning some of these aspects of the body of Christ. The body of Christ. And of course, when we say the body of Christ, we can look up upon the cross and see the corpus, which literally means body. The body of Christ. We can see the icon, the image of the physical man of Christ. He who is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, who came down from heaven, who became flesh, and who took on our humanity, who himself took on a body. Jesus is not just a spiritual Savior, but he is a Savior that has a body, that took on broken humanity. In fact, in our liturgy this morning, the preface of the communion mass is the preface of the Nativity. And you may think that that's kind of weird for Corpus Christi, but it affirms this reality that Jesus, in becoming flesh, has a body. He has a body like you and me in redeeming our humanity. There's a reality there. But the body of Christ goes beyond this reality. For in the body of Christ, we see not simply a memorial of what Christ did in his passion, but it's not representative of a Eucharistic people, but in fact, in the body of Christ, through the body of Christ, there is the essence of the gospel, the essence of who we are. Jesus, in speaking to his disciples, and we have to assume that these were just not just the 12, but it was a large group of disciples and followers that Jesus was speaking to when he was talking about this mystical reality. This mystical reality of the body of Christ. And he said in the gospel in John chapter 6, beginning in verse 53, says, "Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." You see, it is through the body of Christ. It is through his body. It is through his broken body, his shed blood, by which we have communion with with God, by which we have communion with God. Now, the church fathers have always taught that this is not a spiritual or metaphorical saying of Jesus. He's talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. In fact, if there's any question about that, when the disciples, after he had finished saying these things, if you go on to the last part of the chapter, in verse 66, it says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." They said it was a difficult saying. What do you mean? Eat your body, drink your blood. But you see, Jesus is of course speaking of a mystical reality, but it's a mystical reality that is made manifest within the reality of the incarnation. There's a physical aspect to the body of Christ. For in Jesus' body being broken, he is bringing a broken and fractured humanity to restoration, to healing, that we may have true communion with God. And from this comes our true humanity. We are not truly human apart from our communion with God. And it is through his body, his broken body, by which this is made real and manifest. And then in our epistle lesson this morning from the first epistle to the Corinthians, St. Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, in chapter 11, he's talking about this Eucharistic reality in the church. And it's interesting to note that we are also we're also within the octave of the feast of Saints Peter and Paul, and they're commemorated together because they had such an apostolic and foundational part of the whole beginning of the church. In fact, it was there in Antioch, and the Antiochian Archdiocese in particular commemorates these two as being key to the life of the Antiochian Archdiocese. Saints Peter and Paul spent some time in Antioch, and it was there in Antioch before the New Testament was even written that they were steeped in the liturgical life of the church. And according to some scholars, the words that Paul is sharing here is actually the liturgical format of the Eucharistic words, the institution specifically from the Antiochian tradition. And so the liturgy itself, the Eucharistic liturgy, predates the New Testament scripture. And in this, Paul is expressing the reality of this. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" St. Paul is saying that not only are we a ritual people as followers of Christ, but also that in this very act of receiving his body, the body of Christ and his blood, of sharing in the communion with God, that we are proclaiming the gospel. In fact, the words that our Lord uses, that this cup is what? The New Testament, the New Covenant. This cup is the New Covenant. If we are to proclaim the gospel, then we need to proclaim the reality that we have communion with God through his body, the body of Christ, and being restored. A broken humanity being restored by the broken body of our Christ Jesus. St. Paul goes on in talking about the Corinthian church who came to the holy mysteries without proper examination and coming in a cavalier attitude. And he said, "But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Not discerning the Lord's body. You see, even in the first century Corinthian church, there was this tendency to overlook the central reality to the essence of who we are, to the essence of the gospel message, and God himself restoring a broken humanity, and that is the body of Christ. The body of Christ. That's why we are a Eucharistic church. That's why we always will be a Eucharistic church. Because it is the body of Christ. It is his shed blood, which not only defines our faith, but indeed brings true life. It defines who we are. It is the essence of who we are as the church. So for one to say, that's just bread, or that's just representative of the body of Christ, is not discerning of the Lord's body. We come with great humility and trembling of heart and acknowledging the presence, the physical presence of holiness in our midst. But St. Paul, as he continues in 1 Corinthians in the next chapter, following chapter 11, begins to talk about this last aspect of the reality of the body of Christ that I want to talk about. And that is the body of Christ as the church, as you and me. The body of Christ, the church, the new Israel. Because we can't just talk about Eucharist. We can't just talk about the physical body of Christ without also talking about his church. Because we know that a wedding has occurred. We know that at Pentecost sealing this new covenant, this entrance into the new covenant from Christ's passion, his death, his resurrection, ascension, and now the birth of the church at Pentecost. This marriage has occurred, a one flesh union. The body of Christ is also the bride of Christ. But St. Paul goes on to talk about this metaphor of the physical body, about how we all have different gifts, how we all serve in different capacities within this body, and that we should not exalt ourselves, nor should we denigrate ourselves because of those various gifts. He says in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 12, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." You see, Paul's talking about this organic connection. It's not just a collection of individuals who happen to make the same confession and have the same beliefs, but rather the body of Christ is one in organic connection. In verse 26, and he says, "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." Yesterday morning, I got up early with my puppy, who gets up at the crack of dawn, which you know now is about a little bit after 5 o'clock in the morning. And she took off into the guest bedroom, and whilst stumbling around in the dark to try to shoo her out to get her out the door so she could do her business, in my bare feet, I hit my left little toe on a table that was under the guest bedroom, and I did all I could do to not scream, to keep from waking my bride up. And I got that puppy out the door, and that toe, by the end of the day yesterday, was about double the size, and it is a hideous black and blue. Undoubtedly, I broke my little toe. Nothing I can do about it. But it's incredible to know that the smallest member of the body, of the human body, the little toe, can create such debilitating pain and discomfort for the rest of the body. Thank God I'm able to walk much more comfortably today, but yesterday, even walking was a painful reality, a reality that resonated through my whole body. You see, in the body of Christ, St. Paul is talking about an organic reality that is even more profound. We are the body of Christ, such that when one sins, when one suffers, when one is hurting, the rest of the body feels it. The rest of the body enters in to that reality. The body of Christ, the church, is ultimately a manifestation of God's divine love. A divine love that from the beginning of eternity, which in celebrating Trinity Sunday last week, we recognized this divine exchange of love that first occurred before all time among the three persons of the Blessed Trinity, that eternal embrace of those three divine persons. But in creating the cosmos, in creating the world, in creating you and I, we also recognize was an act of love, an act of God's love. God chose not to remain closed in upon this divine community of persons, but rather he leaped out into time and space in creating the world. And then once again, the body of Christ becoming manifest, becoming a reality in the incarnation. It is love. The body of Christ is representative. In fact, I would say is the essence of this reality, of God's love for you and me. For in that, in the breaking of his body, we also recognize the price, the sacrificial nature of that love. I've been married for 29 years, and I can tell you that I am now just beginning to know and to understand the true nature of a marital love. That it's not about having my own needs met, having my own either psychological or emotional well-being tended to. But I find that true marital love is a reflection and indeed an entry into God's divine love. A love that gives itself away to the other. And this makes not only for lasting marriages, even in the midst of our own brokenness and our warts and our faults, but this is a reality that God has called us to in his body, the church. We look to Saints Peter and Paul as that supreme example of the early church, men who and women who laid down their lives, who were willing to go to their death, some by torturous means, some by physically having their body torn apart by lions in the Colosseum, and entering into the reality of this mystical reality of the body of Christ. Let us give thanks to the Lord for his body, for having taken on humanity, our own brokenness. Let us give thanks to our Lord for the body of Christ that he makes manifest and present at every divine liturgy. Let us give thanks to the body of Christ, the church, you and me, who are called to show forth that self-sacrificing love for all the world to see. For in the body of Christ, we truly proclaim the new covenant, the gospel made visible and real. Let us give thanks for the body of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.